Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the band that's played and how we worshiped you. And I hope it was lovely to you. Lord, help me today to teach. Help me to articulate. Help me to be less of me and more of you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. But guys, we're finishing up this series, getting through what you're going through. This is part 8. I know it should have been 6, but I kind of hung out in it for a while. We're going to look at how to never waste your pain. We know that God has 5 purposes for your life. Number 1, we know that God wants you to know and to love him. That's a purpose of worship. We know that God wants us to learn to love other people. And that's the purpose of fellowship. We know that God wants us to grow up spiritually. He wants us to be like Christ. That's the purpose of discipleship. He wants us to practice serving him, and we serve him by serving others. And that's the practice of ministry. And then we were made for a mission. You and I, we were made for a mission. God has a message that he wants to share through you, through your life, and no one else can share that message but you. What I found out is that God uses pain to fulfill those purposes in your life. But you have to cooperate. You have to cooperate with God for that to happen in your life. To be honest with you, most people waste their pain. Most people waste their sufferings. So this morning I want to look at how to gain from your pain and how God wants to use whatever pain you're going through, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, relational, financial, to move you toward his purpose for your life. He wants to use that. So don't waste it. At the top of your outline in Galatians 3:4 says, have you gone through all this for nothing? Is it all really for nothing? So a few questions I want you to answer is have you grown for your pain? Have you grown from your pain? Or have you wasted your pain? Are you further down the road now and where God wants you to be through your pain? This is the big question. Has the pain made any difference? Has it made any difference? Because pain can be used for all of God's purposes, all 5 of those for your life. Pain can be used as a good, good purpose. So write these down. We're going to go through these 5 real quick. I'm not going to keep you long here today. Number 1, I can use it, talking about pain, to draw closer to God. I can use it to draw closer to God. When anything bad happens in your life, you have a choice. You can either run to God or you can run away from God. And by nature, our very nature, we turn to God first. We say, oh God. You know, we turn to him first. So by instinct, we know God. But some people turn away from God. So how do you draw closer to God in your pain? Remember, we've talked about it for the last 7 weeks. First of all, you tell him how you feel, how you really feel. Tell God how you feel. Secondly, you cry out to God. And if you're like me, third, you argue with him. You argue with him. But then finally, you trust him. You trust him. You do everything we talked about these past 7 weeks. We've talked about how when you go through these bad times, there's shock, there's sorrow, there's struggle, there's surrender, there's sanctification, and now there's sharing. You're going to go through these things. Then we try and do what Paul did in the very first verse I'm giving you up here, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Paul said, we were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and he did help us. The phrase that stuck out to me was, but that was good. Paul said, we were crushed. We were overwhelmed. We were powerless. Then he says, but that was good that we were crushed, that we were overwhelmed. Why? Because it drew them closer to God. You may be overwhelmed. You may be crushed. You may feel powerless this morning. But it can be good, because it can draw you closer to God rather than away. I'm telling you, lots of people that I've met come to Christ out of pain. Out of the worst times of their life, they come to Christ. 2 Corinthians 7:9 says this, I am glad, not because it hurt you, but because the pain turns you to God. Paul said, I'm glad, you know, not because of what you're going through, but it, at the very least, it turns you to God. It turns you to God. So the first purpose is let pain draw me close to God. The second purpose of pain is this, number two. I can use it to draw closer to others. To draw closer to others. Your pain, if you let it, it can deepen. And it can also mature your love for other people. I'm going to tell you something about pain and suffering. Suffering sensitizes you. Sensitizes you to other people. And you begin to love them. Did you know that one-third of all marriages end in divorce after a loss of a child? One-third. When that much pain hits your marriage, you have to intentionally work at strengthening your marriage. You also got to give each other a lot of grace. When that much pain hits your marriage, hits your relationships. Because you can't judge one another's feelings when you're going through this kind of pain. Because you and I know these pains. Our feelings just go up and down. Our feelings go all over the place. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? They run the gambit. And so you have to decide when you see that you're in pain, when you go through these things, that no emotion is a bad emotion. Because feelings aren't right or wrong. They're just feelings. They're just feelings. I mean, have you ever tried to convince your spouse that their feelings are unreasonable? Anybody ever try to do that? How's that working out for you? I guarantee you it ain't working out very well. Never done me no good, I'll tell you that. Well, I still try it every once in a while, but not very good. But we show grace to each other, and you draw close to each other. But because the deepest level of all fellowship is the fellowship of suffering. And the only way that you get to this fellowship of suffering is being vulnerable, to be open to that. Galatians 6:2, where are we at? By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love your neighbors, you love yourself. Love God, love others. That's the law of Christ that we need to be shooting for, to be honest with you. Is that, and if you allow it, guys, if you allow it, the pain that you're going through will teach you to really love other people. Third purpose of pain is this. Number three, I can use it to become more like Christ. A wise man once told me this. Pain is always an opportunity to grow in character. Pain is always an opportunity to grow in character. Anytime I say something twice, I feel like you ought to write that down. It's not always an opportunity to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about to learn about the fruit of the Spirit. We learn it most in tough times. God shows it. We really, think about this, we learn to love in unlovely times. We learn about joy in the bleakest of times. When do we learn about patience? When we're having to wait. We learn the fruit of the Spirit in the exact opposite situations. That's how He teaches us. It's a choice that you and I make about this pain to make us become more like Jesus. Some people allow their pain to make them bitter. Some folks allow pain to make them better. It's your choice. Proverbs 20:30 says this, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Can I get a big amen on that? When I read that, I thought, I wonder how many painful experiences I went through. You'd have thought I know some of y'all think I'm really rather intelligent. And that I could learn from other people's pain. No. Some of you said, oh, Jim, I never thought you was that intelligent. But when I go through my own pain, I really learn. The Bible's real clear about that. And it just takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Well, fact is this, God's number one purpose in your life is to make you more like Him. And if God is going to make us more like Jesus, who is loving, kind, and humble, He's going to take us through the same things that Jesus did. And the Bible's real clear. It says, if God didn't spare His own Son, what makes you think He's going to spare you and I? Real clear about that. We got to go through the same thing. And Jesus learned obedience from suffering. The book of Hebrews says that. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:11. Now, isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? You're more alive, more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of this with a purity of heart. These folks in Corinth had gone through persecution. They'd gone through imprisonment. They'd gone through pain. They'd gone through all kinds of suffering. And look at all these things he said that came out of it. He said, you're more alive. You're more passionate. You're more concerned. You're more reverent. You're more human. You're more responsible. And any angle you look at it, you've come out of this with purity of heart. Ask God to use the pain that you're going through for good. Guys, as your pastor, God has given me an incredible sense of love for you. I may not have ever talked to you, but I love you. I'm telling you, if you come here, I love you. If you don't come here, you know it's up in the air. But and it didn't used to be that way. I didn't like people that much. Didn't want them at my house. Didn't want them anywhere, you know. I wanted them at arm's length. But I went through some pain, and now I love you guys. Pain changed me. And in loving you guys, here's what I'm trying to get to. I want you to win. I want you to win in life. I want you to win in sports. I want you to win in relationships, finances. But I'm going to tell you the secret to every winner is one word. I want you to write this down. Resilience. R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E. Resilience. It's the secret to being a winner. And you know what that is? It's just the ability to bounce back. That's the secret to winning, is the ability to bounce back. Everybody has problems. Everyone has problems in here. But winners get back up. You know what losers do? Stay down. Losers stay down. What I mean by that is, I'll never let another man hurt me. I'll never let another woman do that to me. I'm going to build this wall. It's this self, you know, imposed prison. I'm going to let no other one hurt me again. I'm just not even going to have no more friends. No more. You know what that is? It's dumb. But that's also what a loser does. Resiliency. Winners have the same problems that losers do. The only difference is they get up. They get up. Resilience. Life's tough. I want to tell you that you can gain from the pain. Well, how do I get resilience? I didn't put these in your outline, but you can write this down. 2 Corinthians, let me find it, 11. 28, let me find that. Here's what Paul said about, he was telling the story about himself, what he went through. Are they servants of Christ? He said, I'm a better one. I like Paul. Paul liked to talk about himself a lot. I like that. He says, I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's this daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul had a lot going on. Paul had a lot going against him. Paul had a lot of pain. He'd been hurt. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Do you know what Paul was? He was resilient. He got up. He didn't stay down. He got up. Paul was a winner. He was crushed. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul was determined. See, it's all about perspective and not this worldly view. When I say not this worldly view, we need to have a view in light of eternity, a different focus. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18, in the bottom of your outline says this, for this reason we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. And these temporary troubles we suffer, guys, key words here, temporary. Whatever you're going through right now, don't care what it is, whatever pain it is, whatever suffering, it's temporary. Will bring us tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Paul said, don't look at your pain and don't look at your problems. Look beyond that to the very reward in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross because he was focused on heaven. I don't know what's bugging you today, but you may be sitting there and saying, Jim, I just don't see an end of this pain. I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel. And the words that I hate to hear is, I feel like giving up. I feel like giving up. Well, because I do love you, and I really do, I want to stop right now before we go into the fourth purpose, and I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads? Lord, my folks here, they ain't no telling how much pain is that they're going through. If you could go around the room, people were just honest. and we're authentic. So I know there's lots of pain. So Lord, I lift them up to you and I pray for them. And I ask your blessings on them. I ask you to keep them from the evil one. Lord, just keep them away just long enough to where they can be strengthened and encouraged by you and by others. So that he wouldn't devour them. So that they could draw closer to you. I wish I could take the pain away, but I can't. I know, Lord, you can use it for them to grow. So I ask, Lord, that each and every one of us have the courage to hand it over to you and let you use it for good. And give us some sort of vision of how it's going to be. Help keep our eyes on heaven. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, well, the fourth purpose of pain is this. I can use it to help others. I can use the pain to help others. This is just suffering for the benefit of other people. And this is the highest and the best use of our pain. If you're going to have pain, and you will, you might as well get credit for it. And here's how you get credit for it. You get credit for it by using it to help other people. God says you'll be richly rewarded for using your pain to help other people. So I'm saying redeem your pain. Don't waste it. Use it to help other people. And don't just believe me. Look at this verse right here on the top of that. 2 Corinthians 1:4-6. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Then when others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with the comfort through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, listen to this, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we, in turn, can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. It is for our benefit. We'll be richly rewarded. Who can help a struggling veteran than another veteran who's went through those struggles? Who can help with a someone that's been molested or raped and someone that's been molested or raped? Who can help with a teenager better than someone with a teenager? Gosh. What I'm saying is don't waste and don't hide your hurt. Don't hide it. Let God heal it and then let God recycle it to help other people. And let God bless other people. And so don't waste the pain that's happened in your life. Fifth purpose of pain is this. I can use it to witness to the world. Witness is sharing the good news. Just sharing the good news. And guys, when you can do that in your pain, whoa, that is cool. Guys, we think that the world is impressed by our prosperity and how we handle our prosperity. So we kind of show it off sometimes. I want to tell you something. This doesn't impress the world. The world is impressed how we handle our adversity. That's what they're impressed by. We think that our successes gives us credibility. Nope. God says your suffering. Your suffering gives you credibility. We think that fame earns us respect. Nope. God says what actually earns respect is faithfulness. That's what gets respect, especially during the tough times. Now, if I ever had any awards or trophies, I could stand up here and tell you about them. I could tell you all about my accomplishments and all that stuff. But that wouldn't help you at all. But when I can stand up here and tell you about the heck that I've gone through by losing a loved one, or my family's going through a tough time this week, or I'm just struggling, I didn't want to be here, that touches you and you're listening. You're listening. That's a witness. I can't remember if I read this one time or made it up. Somebody, I think I might have read it. But it says this: your weaknesses will actually gain a hearing more than your strengths. Your weaknesses will actually gain a hearing more than your strengths. What I'm saying is, when you share your weaknesses, more people are going to listen than when you talk about your strengths, about your accomplishments. And that's exactly opposite of what the world has taught you. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be rich or famous. You just have to be authentic in your pain. Then folks will start listening to you. Because pain causes you to have credibility with people. Philippians 1:12 says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. Your deepest life message will come out of your deepest life's pain. Real witnessing. That's what Jesus did for you. The greatest witness of God is the suffering of Jesus Christ. Here's the bottom line. You're going to have pain in your life. You can either use it for good or you can waste it. Pain can have a purpose. I wrote down here, helping others at the end of this thing. And here's what I want you to do for your homework. I'd like for you to do it today. But I know you may not have time, may not have a pen with you. But I'd like for you to do it today and think about it. I'd like for you to do this. Write down four of the most painful experiences in your life. Four of the most painful experiences in your life. Then I want you to go back after you've wrote those down and write down the names of at least four people that are going through those same four things. And guess what? That's your ministry. That's your ministry. I'll give you an example. We're in 8 weeks. Been 8 weeks since my dad died. I'm looking at one of my best friends in life, David Hawkins. His dad died this morning at 4 o'clock. So I wrote his name down. Part of my ministry. Same thing. Yours may be divorce. Divorce can be very painful. Maybe the loss of a child. I've told you guys that loss of a child thing, there's no pain to describe that. The loss of a child, I mean, it's so great, they don't even have a name for it. You know, the loss of a spouse is a widow or a widower. You lose your parents, you're called an orphan. When you lose your child, that pain's so great, they don't even have a name for it. That's pain. But who can better minister to someone that lost a child than someone that's lost a child? Don't waste that. Anyway, been 8 weeks since he died, and I hope and pray that my pain helped y'all. Would you pray with me? My Lord, hope we did what you wanted us to do today. We wanted to lift you up. We wanted to glorify you. And I pray that people walk away different today, that they're changed. I pray that they walk away motivated to not waste their pain for whatever it might be. That they draw closer to you. That they begin to love other people. To minister. So Lord, use us. And I pray that you continue to keep your hand on our church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.